Our lesson for this day from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. A glimpse. John of Patmos pulls back the curtain, and we get a glimpse of the life to come. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." And then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And for this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is at the center of the throne, will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we today seek to gather around your throne, to join in this number, to be a part of the saints who have gone before us, to truly commune not only with you, but with them. And though we see them no more with human eyes, we know, O God, by your grace and the mystery of our faith, they are as ever present to us now as they were when we shared this fleshly life together. Help us to experience your assurance that they are well and safe with you, and help us to know that you too are preparing a place for us, that we will one day join in that great number, waving our palm branches, shouting our hosannas. Salvation belongs to our God. Until then, may their example encourage us onward in the faith, we pray. Now unstop our ears, make ready our hearts, and prepare us to receive a grace this world can't offer but comes so generously from you. Come, Holy Spirit, come, we pray. Amen. I want to hearken you back to your childhood for a moment. You remember that moment? You had just finished building the most epic fort ever, but you hadn't yet played in it. Or maybe you just laid out your favorite board game. You decided which Monopoly piece you were going to be, but you hadn't yet started the game. Or maybe your favorite television show had just come on. Your best friend had stopped by to ask if you could play. You were right and good in the middle of something, only to hear your mama yell, "Dinner's ready!" Oh! And you knew you didn't want to stop. You knew you didn't want to leave. You knew you didn't want to miss out. But you also knew if Daddy got involved, ooh, hell hath no fury. And so you went running. The summer camp I worked at had a different way of calling people to dinner. Instead of yelling, "Dinner's ready!" across 55 acres, they had a bell that they would ring on the front of the dining hall, ding, 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 ding. And we literally would like salivate like Pavlov's dog when the bell would ring. But we knew 8 o'clock, 12:30, 6, you better be there for the meal. Well, these days, sometimes the shoe is on the other foot. I've gone from being that child that didn't want to come to the table to occasionally, like this weekend when my wife's out of town, I'm in charge of the meals. And I get a foretaste of, I get an experience of trying to keep the main dish hot, get the salad chopped and fresh, ice doesn't melt in the glasses, "Come on, kids, dinner's ready!" And nothing. crickets. I found this cartoon this week from Calvin and Hobbes, one of my favorites. It reminds me of what this life is like. Mom says, "Dinner's ready, Calvin, come to the table." To which Calvin, my inner child, says, "I'm watching television." His mother says, "No, you're not." "Yes, I am. I'm right in front of the TV." "No, you're not." And he says, "Oh, that's right. I'm at the table," and takes off. Or some with teenagers have said they've resorted to this. Let's see the next cartoon here. It's hard to read, but the wife is saying to the husband, "Dinner's ready. Would you text the children?" Text the children. Yeah. I wonder about this. When you answer the call, "Dinner's ready," and you came to the table, did you ever find somebody there that sitting around the table that you weren't expecting? Happened to me a lot, but two were very traumatic. One time I came to the table, and sitting around it was my ninth grade geometry teacher, Miss Yelverton. Let's just say her name, Miss Yelverton. She was not there because I was doing extraordinarily well in geometry, let's be clear. Second time it happened to me, came running down. My mother had made my favorite meal, homemade spaghetti with my grandmother Williams' recipe. I smelled it through the house. She called, man, I didn't hesitate. I took off running, came in, sat down, looked up, and there was the preacher at the table. Turns out I had not been a nice little boy in Sunday school the week before, and he was there to talk to my parents about it. Not good. Not good. I'll try not to come to your houses under those occasions, all right? So the parents have a way of calling people to dinner. "Dinner's ready!" Camp rings a bell, but how does the church invite us to the table? The church, Jesus reminds us, invites us to host a meal. We host it at 8:30, at 6:30 at night, 9:45 and 11 on the first Sundays of the month and high holy days like this. We come and are invited to the Lord's Supper. But Jesus doesn't yell, "Dinner's ready!" or doesn't ring a bell, doesn't text us. But in the text, in the Word of God, we hear that we're to do this often in remembrance of me. You just heard Pastor Suzanne. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. That beautiful invitation that reminds all are welcome to the table. And then what do? We say words of confession. Just like we would wash our hands before a meal. We talk about that a lot at my house this time of year. We clean up our souls before we come and gather around the table. And then we participate in the passing of the peace to remind us that we are to be one with each other, one with Christ, and one in ministry to all the world. We begin this beautiful liturgy, "The Lord be with you, also with you." We lift up our hearts, we lift them up to the Lord, and we tell a blessing, if you will, a great thanksgiving of all the ways, God's mighty acts of salvation, all that God has done through the Hebrew people, through Jesus on the cross. And then we invoke the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us. Then we come down the aisle, and we receive a piece of the bread, and we dip it into the cup, and we commune. And the question is, when we come to the Lord's Supper, when we heed that call and come to the table, who meets us here? Who all is at the table? Well, of course, God is present. We talk about communion with God. Christ, the resurrected Christ, is present. We invoke the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, they are here. Who else meets us? We meet one another at the table, to be sure. Who else is here? Well, it's our saints who have gone before us, who have outrun us to the Father's house. Those who we now see dimly, but they see clearly. Those who fought the good fight of old and now rest secure with God. The saints who modeled for us what it looks like to live lives of faith, they meet us here as well. Did you hear it in the text? I love it. After this, I looked, and he says, there's a great multitude that no one could count from every tribe, every nation, all peoples, and all languages standing before the throne, praising God, robed in white, palm branches in their hands. We get this glimpse of this heavenly party that's taken place, and actually, we're the Johnny-come-latelys to the party. What do we say every time in the liturgy? We praise your name and join their unending hymn. The saints, all the company of heaven who have gone before us, who are in this cosmic celebration all day long, every day before the throne of God, praising night and day, we join them when we come. Now, who's in that number? Oh, of course, the Hall of Famers. Of course, we think about those beautiful biblical figures, Adam and Eve. We think about Noah and his family. We think about Abraham and Sarah and Moses. And then we go the judges and Deborah and Miriam. And then we get into the prophets and Mary and Joseph and the disciples. We go down the list. They're all part of this great communion of the saints. Who else is on that roll call? We think about the church saints, the church history saints. We think about Martin Luther. We think about Tertullian, Julian of Norwich. We think about Mother Teresa. All those saints who have gone before us that we've recognized in church history and in our tradition, they meet us here as well. Guess who else meets us when we come around the table and we join their unending hymn, communion with God and with the saints? Who else shows up? Well, it's our saints. They join us here as well. The saints of Christ United Methodist Church, Flip and Hal Brokaw, Richard Donnan and Charlie Farrell, Ed Harlan, Joan, Gracie, and Eugene, Mary Louise, Francis, Elizabeth, and all of your saints, they join us here as well, gathering around the table, those who modeled for us what it looks like to live lives of faith, Sunday school teachers and preachers and Bible study leaders, moms and dads and grandparents, those who got us dressed and got us to church, those who showed us what it is to live a faithful life of prayer, those who modeled for us what it looks like to use your hands and feet to serve Jesus, those saints meet us here as well. And the veil between this life and the life to come gets extraordinarily thin as we catch a glimpse. During his end of life conversations, the beautiful opportunities I had to discuss with Hal, it's a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing to get to a journey with someone who is dying, who knows they're dying, who is at peace with what is to come. They shoot straight with you. They tell you truth. They break open and are honest with you in ways that are so beautiful. And Hal and I were having some conversation. Hal Brokaw, his wife Flip, had outrun him. And we began to talk, where's Flip? What do you think Flip's doing? Do you think Flip is participating in this life with us as we participate with the saints? And we began to imagine together what that might look like. And I said, well, Hal, I can't answer all of those questions. Some of that we leave to the mystery of our faith. Some of that we only see on the other side of the Jordan. But Scripture tells us that those who have gone before us are gathered around the throne of God. We know that they hunger no more, that they thirst no more, that the sun does not strike them, no scorching heat, that the Lamb is their shepherd who leads them to the springs of the water of life, who wipes away every tear from their eyes. And I said, all I know, Hal, is that the saints are with us. They participate in this life with us. We began to talk a little more, and he told me a story. He said, Pastor Ben, did you know that when Christ Church was thinking about building its beautiful sanctuary, did you know that they talked about including a balcony? I said, no, I didn't know any of that. And he said, we ended up going a different direction and doing something different with the building, but I've always kind of had that image of the balcony. And I said, well, Hal, what if we imagined together that we had a balcony of saints? What if we imagine that that's where the saints sit when we gather for worship? So what if we think about Flip and all the saints of Christ United Methodist Church and of our friends and family who were sitting in that great balcony, who hover over us and join us when we worship, encourage us onward, imagine, help us sing our praises. And then he said, I'm going to be in that number soon. And I said, yes, you will, Hal. And he smiled. I said, promise me one thing, though, Hal. And we've been joking a little bit about the Muppets. I said, promise me you won't be those two Muppets, or two grumpy old men who are like, yeah, curmudgeonly when you're in the, please just, I want you to be there, but promise me that's what the encounter is not. And he smiled. I just want to see Jesus, he said. He said, but I'll be cheering you on. Rest assured, I'll be present with you. And Philip and all of the saints who have gone before us. One of the early pastorates I got to have in ministry, very early in my time there, one of the key leaders in the life of the church, a professor by the name of Freddie Jones, beautiful African man from Sierra Leone, had been such a blessing in my life. Just in the little bit of short time I had known him, he had helped us capture our vision and think about where we were going. He had helped and sort of straighten out some things in the congregation that I wasn't able to do. He sang in the choir on a Sunday night as part of a beautiful ecumenical service we had. He had this voice. People said he was like James Earl Jones, and we had him read scripture every week because you literally thought it was the voice of God reading scripture. He sang in the choir on a Sunday night, woke up Monday morning, didn't feel well, went to the doctor. By Wednesday, he was in the hospital, and by Friday, he was gone. One of those early experiences of grief and walking with him just ripped my heart out of the personal connection, not only the pastoral connection. The following Sunday, just so happens, we were celebrating Holy Communion, and here come the saints of the church to receive Holy Communion. Here come God's people, and here comes Freddie's widow, Olivia. And I broke off a piece of the bread and handed it to her. And she reached over and she grabbed my hand and she said, "Pastor Ben, Freddie's here. Freddie's here. I feel it and I know it." She said, "I may not be able to see him like I can see you, but his presence is as real to me as your presence is in this moment." I said, "He's here. I can hear his voice. I can't see him, but I can feel him. And I know he joins us when we come. The saints commune with us, all the company of heaven. We join their unending hymn." The Hall of Famers, the church history, the ones we've officially canonized, those who have been our saints. One more thing, though. That's not the end of the list. There's one more group on the list, and this one's going to push us. Are you ready? Guess who else is on the list? Those people maybe that we didn't necessarily love in this life. Those people who were like thorns in our sides in this life. Those people who we didn't see eye to eye with. We certainly didn't agree with politically or theologically. Those people who just, you know, were like, oh, everywhere we turned. Guess what? They're here too. Here's a hard reality we need to name, particularly at this point in time in our human history, brothers and sisters. We have figured out as human beings, we have figured out just about every single way imaginable to divide ourselves. We have figured out categories and classes and orientations and divisions. We have just, from skin color to eye color, to hair color, to ideology, to beliefs, to politics, to theology. We have figured it out. We do it like nobody else, dividing ourselves up into tribes and to camps and to who's right and to who's wrong. And we have figured out how to hurt one another, break one another, cause pain and havoc like nobody's business. And yet, the glimpse of heaven that we are given. "After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation." It doesn't say some nations. It doesn't say a few of the nations. Every nation from all tribes. Not some tribes, not a few of the tribes. All peoples and all languages are standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb, robed in white. And how do we know this? Here's the kicker, verse 10. They cry out in a loud voice saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne." That's who gets to decide who's on the invite list and who's coming to dinner. It's not you and it's not me. We don't get to draw those lines and make those categories. In the kingdom of God, salvation alone belongs to our God. All are invited to the table. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that name probably rings true with some of you, a German theologian. He was part of the resistance movement against Adolf Hitler during World War II. For his efforts in that area, he was arrested and imprisoned. And days before liberation and the end of the war, he was executed for refusing to renounce his faith. And he said many profound things, wrote The Cost of Discipleship, beautiful things. But I came across something I'd never seen from him. And he says the following. We need to figure out. He says, if we're going to believe what we say we believe and profess what we believe in church, Sunday in and Sunday out, then we need to get ourselves prepared to understand. Look around. Look around. We're going to be spending all of eternity with one another, so we better start figuring out how to live together here and now. Because when we all get to heaven, every proud division ends. So today, as we come to the table, in this beautiful moment to commune with God and the saints and encounter those who have modeled for us the faith, what would it look like as we go forth to begin to practice what life in the kingdom of God is going to be like? What if we started here and now to break down those barriers and to treat one another like human beings and to value one another as a sacred child of God and to let all the rest of that stuff go? And we might be preparing ourselves for life on the other side of the Jordan here and now. As you come to the table this day, I want you to call the names of your saints, those who have modeled for you life and life abundant. Say their names and celebrate their life and give thanks for who you are because of them. And then as you come, I also want you to have in your mind and heart the name of someone or someone who you think, I'm not seeing it. And then poke yourself, as I have to do. Oh, salvation belongs to you, God. Remind me, oh God. And then prompt me by your unmerited grace to figure out how to do life together in this life, that I might be ready for the life to come. This week I caught a glimpse, friends. It was in a moment of deep brokenness, but your pastoral team and some of you were able to be part of the interfaith vigil for the Tree of Life Synagogue, where 11 lives were taken, just really, literally, as a crow flies, less than a mile away from here. As we joined together with brothers and sisters of all kinds of faith backgrounds, people from every tribe and nation under heaven joined together, different languages spoken and sung, and yet we all together in the house of God praising Almighty God. So I know it can be done. And what a glimpse of the kingdom. Dinner's ready! Supper's on the table, and the saints of old and new are with us, and they are so eager to welcome us into the life that really is life as we come to feast at the heavenly banquet and participate in a foretaste of what will be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.